Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on
what's
the trees
up, what's are up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And my question today is, who the hell is running the insane asylum? Can we get any dumber? Now, the ECB and Mario Draghi, they're now buying corporate bonds. So now they're going to become their own hedge fund. Have we not lost our minds? Is this a way to run an economy? To continue to borrow money, print money, to buy assets, to liquefy markets for the 5% that actually really care about what's going on in the markets? I mean, I don't get it. This is another, in my opinion, horrendous mistake made by another incompetent, no common sense central bank. I mean, does nobody ever watch anything? Is this what we have to look forward to? That none of these people have any freaking clue of what the hell's going on in the world. Okay. That you've got Japan all in buying securities. You've got China owning 55% of their market. And now you've got the ECB buying corporate bonds as well as regular. I mean, doesn't anybody not see the issues that are being created here? I mean, you know, it's almost time to get in a bunker watching what these guys are doing. I mean, you know, I don't know about your personal opinion, but from my point of view, nothing could be dumber than what they're doing now. Okay? Nothing could be dumber than what I see here. I got to tell you, I can't fathom what the hell this guy is thinking. Okay. It's like maybe he gets a bonus for what he's putting into the market. I mean, it there's no logic behind this crap that these imbeciles are putting out there. This Fed, now, you know, I guess maybe Ron Paul is right. And the Fed and the central banking system. Maybe we don't need it anymore. I mean, I don't know. I can't in my wildest dreams figure out what this mope is trying to figure here and what they think they're going to do by accumulating more assets. Okay. And who knows if the assets that are accumulating are any good. But of course, what do we know? Well, we got us. We'll pay for it. The middle class will step up and pay this bill. Aren't you happy that you have these guys running the world for you? I mean, can you imagine knowing that you've got a middle class is going to pay taxes, it's going to have to finance this disaster that they're now creating again? I mean, you know, this only makes it harder for recovery. You know, sometimes you got to bite the bullet and just say, hey, we're going to have a problem. But don't we have a problem now? And isn't there going to be a bigger problem later? I mean, look at what's going on here. I mean, it's truly unfathomable, okay, that these people actually believe that they're trying to help. Where is this education at? I got to make sure I never send my kids to the schools that these guys go to, because this is a school of stupidity. This is a school of ignorance. This is a school of, hey, let's just keep throwing stuff at it and hope that it goes away. Hope that we can. In 2010, I did an interview for Market Watch, and I said, you cannot borrow your way out of debt. And what are our leaders of the free world doing? They are trying to borrow their way out of debt. Show of hands, how many of you out there have tried to continue to borrow money and realize that when you're done, you dug such a deep hole you could never get up? Which, of course, if you and me, the average guy on the street, did what these dopes are doing, we'd be in bankruptcy court or in jail. And I'm not just saying that as a sensational. I mean, it's true. I mean, you cannot, the money, the faucet has to turn off. Why do these people think that they don't have to turn the damn faucet off? What makes them think that they can continue to destroy the value of our currencies and our assets by making more of it? I mean, we're going so close to the center of the earth here in problems that it's just absolutely almost a criminal offense. I mean, this is a Ponzi scheme. This is the Ponzi scheme of all Ponzi schemes. These people are destroying value and property and everything along the way. But there is 1% of the population that's extremely happy. And of course, that's the ones with all the money. Okay. But the guys in the middle, the entrepreneurs, the people who actually need money to work and to move and to act, are getting fractured. Okay. And if you think that this is the end of it, because one thing we know with a great deal of certainty is that eventually, you know what happens eventually, right? This always happens. This won't be the first go round. Eventually, the markets overtake everybody. Okay, eventually, the markets will start determining the class and the prices of these assets. And eventually, it'll melt down. Because you cannot continue to run a system on an air pocket and an air bubble. And by God, that's what we're doing. We are running this whole setup on an air pocket. And I got to tell you, it is as scary can be, because the people that are running it have absolutely no idea of what they're doing. And not that I know, not that I'm a genius, but I do know common sense, and I do own businesses. And I know that the business of the United States, the business of the world economy, cannot function with guys like Mario Draghi, Janet Yellen, Christine Lagarde, Ben Bernanke, what the hell is his name? Greenspan, Abby Abenomics, and anyone else. They're killing it. They are totally lost, and I don't know. I need some blood pressure medicine here. Anyways, as you know, I am a big fan of Thinkorswim, the platform that is built by traders for traders. And you know, I've got two buddies over there, Scott Connor and Kevin Hinks, who run the swim lessons that help teach you how to use the platform, how to use markets, and what to look for. Go check it out. Swim lessons every single day. You got to check it out. It's a wonderful program. In the meantime, when you miss an episode and you want to get your blood pressure up and you want to re-listen to me, go to libertytalk.fm, The Bubba Show, every day on demand. And in the meantime, go check out bubbatrading.com. I've done some great writing, and I've got some good things there, and you can hear the fire in me. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we will be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. Love runs high. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and I have not calmed down yet. I'm still seething. There's still smoke coming out of my ears. And, you know, I want a simpler solution. You know what I want? I want real business. I want real markets. I want a time when we traded, we had markets, we bought things, we sold things, and they actually worked the way that they were supposed to. They didn't have Mario Draghi and Abe Abenomics and the People's Bank of China and Janet Yellen coming in and trying to manipulate markets. We didn't have the ability to print unlimited amounts of supplies of money. We didn't have all of the things that just should make you all want to lose your lunch watching these people create the bubble that they're creating. Now, make no mistake about it. This is an asset bubble. It is a credit bubble. The amount of debt far succeeds the amount of debt from just the housing bubble, not that long ago. So can you imagine? We're 7 years in to a bull stock market while people aren't working, while we're losing value on almost every asset we have in some way or shape or form. And you're seeing just a big old air pocket. You're seeing the demonstration of letting the inmates run the asylum. Because I will assure you, any one of you out there who was an entrepreneur, okay, would have done a better job with what is going on than the jokers that we have running this asylum right now. I cannot tell you how upsetting it is to be a part of a system of people that have no clue. Now, where is the leadership in this country? Where is somebody who steps up? You know, now the Federal Reserve is not a government agency, but it is partially owned by the government. Okay, they do have their fingerprints all over it. And I got to tell you, okay, I am at my wit's end about this whole thing. Where is the leadership? Where is our president to try to straighten out this mess? Instead of patting himself on the back at what a fine job he hasn't done, okay, where is he in running the country? Where is our Congress? Where is our Senate? Okay, oh, they're too busy screwing around trying to steal our money in another direction. Okay, so we've got, everybody's got their hands in our pockets. Well, they all live like kings. Now think about that, okay? Here you are, working your ass off, and some of you may be working two jobs right now to make what you used to make in one, but yet our Congress and Senate are making a couple hundred grand a year, knowing that they've got a big pension, and knowing that basically they only work part-time, okay? You got a president, plays a lot of golf, spends a lot of money flying around an Air Force One, but of course you can't fly around an Air Force One to go to Nancy Reagan's funeral, or you couldn't find time to be at Justin Antonin Scalia's funeral. But he can certainly find time to get to the golf course and go to Hawaii and go wherever the hell he wants at millions of dollars of our cost. But yet, here we are in a position of crap once again. Now, do we not see the flaw? Where is somebody, where's the adult in the room? Okay, I guess that would be it. Where's the adult that's going to step up and say, you know, we're ruining this country. We're destroying an entire generation, an entire class of people. Because we are not doing what it's going to take to build this country back. Okay, now I know we've got technology and I know that's the new wave or whatever, the new thing. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I personally don't like technology because I think it's ruined communication skills for everybody. But where is it? Who's going to take care of the millions upon millions upon millions of people that aren't savvy in technology, that can't get a job in the technology field, that can't adjust to now? Somebody should be smart enough to realize that those are valuable employees that we can all put to work taking care of our beautiful country, the land of opportunity, America the beautiful. Okay. And again, I love this country. There is no place like it. There is no place better than it. But it certainly pains me deeply when I watch the destruction that is being done to this. Now, we'll get through this. Like every time else, we'll get through, because this ain't the first rodeo. This ain't the first time that we've had ignoramuses in charge. But it really saddens me as an American, as a father, and a grandfather soon, that we are taking away and destroying a generation. Because what you're doing, you know, everybody's dream, every parent's dream is to leave their children in better shape than they were. And because of what our great leaders are doing, they're really taking away that opportunity of leaving this world in a better space. They are putting us in a position of no return, which will create devastation. Again, we'll rebuild from it. I am not worried about that. This is not the first time that we've seen this situation. All you gotta do is look back at Jimmy Carter, and boy, he must be doing a dance. He's cured himself from cancer so far. All the tumors are gone, and he's now got somebody who can be considered the worst president of all time taking his place. So he gets his life back, and he gets the title of being the worst ever taken away from him. I mean, I don't understand why we can't see what is going on. And I'm not thinking about us. We see it. Why the commanders, the people, can't see it. But you know what? Many of them do see it. The problem is the people that ultimately make the final call don't see it, don't care, and continue to ignore it. And we all know from life that when you ignore problems, they get bigger and they get worse. And there will be a climax, like in every great movie. Okay. We will have a climax here at some point. When? I don't know. But I certainly hope that you have taken the proper measures to protect yourself and your portfolio from the devastation that's about to wreak havoc on it. Because you can bet your, you know what, that it is coming. Okay? And it always does come. The timing is right for it. The way that it's been built is right for it. So I hope that you have done the proper things. If you haven't, email me. Let me share some ideas with you, because there's no reason for you to be devastated when it does happen, because you can prevent forest fires. Now, Smokey the Bear, you can take care of yourself, and it's easily done. So I want to make sure that Bubba Show listeners are prepared, because if you're not, it's going to be a long road out. Okay? Listen. Make sure when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and load it up. Again, you will find that we have great content. BubbaTrading.com, great content. Keep you informed. And again, keep you informed from my views. Okay? But I do make it realistic, and I don't just shade it. So go check it out. Check out the hedging program. But for now, I'm going to step by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz worked up today. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and what a crazy day today was. And, you know, we try to make you understand and help you read markets. And I want to go back to yesterday because we had a big report in the grains. And I want you to see what's going on, and we'll talk about it. But I want you to hear it. This is what I was reading based on the footprint. So let's go back to RFD TV yesterday.
At the trading floor in Chicago. All right, Todd, good to talk with you, and big event to chat about here this time. All those numbers flying around. What do you make of all this?
Good morning, Marlon. Was there a report today? I don't know. I didn't see one. Obviously, it was pretty much all online. You can see by the price action that there really was none. I mean, we moved a little bit back and forth around break even, but really no real action to the trade because I think the trade already had this kind of priced in. One of the things we always look at is what is already assumed to be in the market. And basically, the report was already in the market. So now we're going to see where we're really going to go over the next few days as we decide if we're still going to be bullish or bearish. But overall, the overall report really had obviously no effect on the markets whatsoever.
As we look at our corn prices here, Todd, we'll bring up the futures board. And I thought it was interesting. Right now, we have the May corn trading a penny and a half lower at 359. Out of all of these, it looked like maybe the wheat and the corn, if anything, had fairly friendly numbers, and the trade didn't take it too well. They kind of sold off after that.
Well, you know, they were fairly friendly, but again, maybe they were fairly friendly, and that's why they hadn't gone down earlier. You know, we did see wheat go down and make new contract lows last week. Corn has not gotten that far down yet. So there's still some significant pressure on these markets from the commercials. There's still a lot of weight, which, you know, ties back into the economy. You've got a lot of big announcements the next couple of days in the general markets that could have a dramatic effect on what we're talking about right now, which is you've got Mario Draghi speaking tomorrow morning, which will definitely influence monetary policy, which could have an effect on the dollar, and then you've got the Fed next week. So I think more important in today's world right now are those numbers, because those really affect the dollar, which really affects whether or not we're going to be able to export out goods or not, and that becomes the bigger issue in the longer term here.
Right now, the March dollar index futures are down 240 points. We do need to keep an eye on that. Fairly close to the low of the day. Todd, I wanted to ask you, as we look at our wheat prices, we'll bring up the Kansas City wheat market here to see how it's holding up so far today. We did see a little weaker tone in Chicago, but Kansas City is just one tick higher on the May. July is unchanged right now at 481. But are we getting to the point where traders are finally going to start shifting their focus to the upcoming weather related to the growing season this year?
I, I think that will be the case, and I think it's interesting. You know, we've had a fairly wet springish here, and the winter beginning of spring. It could be interesting. It could lead to a dry summer, which could obviously bring some prices up, bring production down a little bit.
I've been talking with a number of friends and relatives in the central part of the country, and that's exactly what some of the analysts are talking to them about in that part of the country. So we'll watch that very closely. All right, Todd, we're going to pause for a little break.
And we're going to step out. He's going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back. And so you can see that the action in the markets has not really been much, okay, based on that report, okay? So now let's go and hear the hogs.
And we're back talking with Todd Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com at the trading floor in Chicago. We're going to talk about the livestock trade and the cattle market here, Todd. You know, it had a bit of a resurgence yesterday. You know, we got within about a dollar or so on the April live cattle of getting up there around that recent high that we had set. And we're still at 137.08 on April. We're down just 4 cents now on the day. They sold them off earlier, got down to 136.5. So far, they're hanging in. They're kind of treading water right now. June live cattle down 16 at 126.52. On the other hand, on the feeder cattle side, if we take a peek at those, we have the March contract up 2, but everything else a little lower. April down 20 at 158.58. We had just kind of a trickle of cash cattle sales yesterday, didn't we?
You know what? I think what you're going to see, Marlon, is this market's going to stay pretty much in this area right now. Again, I'm looking for lower prices here, not to be bearish. I think that we're going to see some natural profit taking. We're going to see some selling. I think some of the weaker longs are going to get nervous here. We're going to see a little bit of a push down. I'm looking, my targets to the downside are, you know, 131 to 134 in the live in April, and I'm looking for, you know, 151 to 155 in feeders. I think we're going to see those prices, which is in that case I will then want to be a buyer. I'm really not a seller. I might sell for a trade up against here at resistance, but overall I think we're in really good shape. I just think that you've got a few too many in right now. I think we've got a little bit too many bulls laying around, and I think those need to be sorted out, and I think you'll see a little bit of selling pressure off of the 138 in the live cattle and off of the 160 in the feeders, and I would look for them to work their way lower. I don't think it'll be disastrous. I don't think it'll be quick. I think it's going to be we're going to limp down to those levels, and then we'll be looking to buy again, because I think we are going to go higher overall.
Well, I know we've talked about it before that the large spec funds, if you call them that, have been like holding record short positions on the grain side. Where are they on the livestock right now?
Right now, I think they're actually fairly neutral. I think they got caught up overly short back a few weeks ago. If you remember when we had that run up and those limit up moves back to back to back, I think they got out and they're kind of licking their wounds right now. I think that they may come, but they'll probably make a run here again. You know, every day we fail to push higher, we're in what we would call a consolidation phase right now, which we're just going sideways. And if we don't break to the upside, which I don't think we're going to here, they'll step in and they'll push them down. And that's really what I'm counting on to help me get to my objectives on the downside, because the truth is I want to be a buyer, but sometimes in this business you have to be a seller first so you can buy at the right price, because we make our money on the buy, not necessarily on the sell.
So are you optimistic about the demand given the fact that the dollar is down right now and the things that are going on in the equity markets these days?
You know, I think that demand is going to come back. I think really what we're going to see is people are just tired of not spending, and I think you're going to see a little bit of the purse strings come out. We've got, you know, income tax refund. If they were working, they get a little bit of refund. I think we might see a little bit of action coming into the barbecue season. We had a lot of good things happening that at least people will be happier and maybe more inclined to go ahead and spend some money, which is over the winter they were not at all inclined to be spending, which is why we saw the drop in prices, I believe.
And we'll get an update on the export sales numbers tomorrow morning. They were pretty good on the pork last week. Speaking of the pork, let's look at the lean hog trade. What are the futures doing? Well, Todd, we're higher everywhere. April lean hogs up 90 now at 76. May is now 17 higher. June up 55 at 82.05. Are you friendly there?
I love the space, but until we can get, we've been in this range of 69 to 71 basis April for about 6 weeks right now. And until we can break either above or below, there's really nothing to do. Now, my personal opinion is they're going to break to the upside, and the longer we stay in this range, the bigger the breakout's going to be. Now, we could break to the downside. I don't think so. I think we do break higher. But until we can bust above 71 and stay there, there's no reason to get involved there, because every time we've tried it, we come right back and we get stuck in that 69 to 71 range. So where are you going to go? You have to wait until the market say, hey, it's time, and they'll let you know. You'll have plenty of opportunity if we can get the breakout. I think they will break to the upside, but right now I'm staying neutral, waiting for that position to develop, and then I'll be able to jump in.
Very good. Todd, thanks for the insight. I appreciate it.
And that is, you know, we talk about these things all the time, okay, because this is, that was the report that was at 12:45 Eastern time yesterday, and we're going to come back with the 1:45 because things suddenly changed between those, and I think you'll find it interesting of how the markets adapted to exactly kind of what we said and where we are basis the overall markets. I think that's something to take a good, solid look at. And remember that it doesn't matter what you're looking at. The markets always come down to the footprint. The market always comes down to where are you within that footprint. And if you do that correctly, then you're going to give yourself the best chance. It does not guarantee you that you're going to make money on that trade, okay? But it does guarantee you the probability of being in the best position to be safe, the best position to say, hey, this is where we need to be, because that is what we're always focusing on, is the ability to be in solid shape, the ability to have the best of it working for us without trying to be or outsmart markets, because markets have a funny way of reacting. You're seeing it, you saw it today from the euphoria of Mario Draghi doing the dumbest thing ever to the realization that indeed it was dumb. And of course, that showed you a major move towards the downside, you know, because we had a dramatic turnaround. And we'll see where this all plays out from here. But you're seeing this kind of action everywhere because the entire world is on edge waiting for the incompetence of the people in charge to maybe finally find us something better. And that really is what I find to be a bigger problem, is when we get involved and we let the incompetence run wild. Okay. That's why, again, I don't sell anybody. I'm just telling you, this is why you should be hedged all the way around, either if you're a farmer, if you're a producer, if you have an equity portfolio, or both. Those portfolios should be synthetically wrapped up so that this kind of action does not have a major effect on your portfolio. This is the stuff that you have to, you get to smile at when it happens if you're taken care of properly, and the stuff you're concerned about if you're not. So, you know, every day, my show, The Bubba Show, gets posted at libertytalk.fm. That's my radio station. And we have gotten, we just pushed over the 200,000 downloads per month on that show. Obviously, I'd love to have you as one of them. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you tell your friends. Let's make this the biggest show in the world. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'm going to step out of a break, and we're going to come back with more of the farming analyzation, because I think you'll get a kick out of it and enjoy how it worked. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we're going to go from Marlon Bowling to Mark Appel. This is yesterday, 1 hour apart, and here are my explanations of what's going on. Here we go.
Dimensions, one last look at this grain and livestock trade on a crop report day, a supply-demand update. We go to Chicago. Todd Horwitz with us earlier today, talking to Marlon Bowling, and now back with us doing double duty today, and we're glad to have you. Yesterday you said, Mark, let's just get past this report, and we can move on to other things. You still feel that way?
as I said yesterday, and I the report really was meaningless here. It didn't really tell. We already knew that information was basically already priced into the market. The markets are really just under pressure. Commercials are keeping the pressure on the markets. There's a lot of reasons to believe that they're going to try to push them lower, but I think they've actually failed. And I think we're starting to see little bits of action that are trying to push them a little higher. And one of these days, we're going to escape through it, and then you're going to get this little bit of a short covering burst. Today is not that day, I don't think. But again, reports didn't tell us a lot. We still have basically under pressure, and we're still hovering every day. We're right around that unchanged rate. You know, if we just drew a circle around 358 to 362 in corn, that's where we'd be for the last, you know, how many weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're seeing here. I don't see a lot to do here. I would, again, I'm still want to be in. I am still long, but I'm not going to bring new money in until we can get out of this range. And I wouldn't even mind to see a quick break to the downside and buy there. But I do believe that we will end up higher. You know, don't forget, we've got a long time now. Now that we're focused on planning and getting it in the ground, there's a long time between now and when it comes out. A lot of stuff can happen between now and then, and I look for some good upside surprises for us.
Very good. All right. Now, looking at, so we're near unchanged, up three quarters, down three quarters in the corn trade. I want to get your thoughts, though, Todd. That being said, you said the report didn't show us much. Marlon and I, looking at those world numbers, every one of them, corn, beans, and wheat, were not only lower than expected, they were below any range that we saw out there. How do you discount, how do you say that doesn't really mean that much to the market?
Well, now, again, see, here you're looking at it from your perspective, which is great, but the guys that run the money through the market had already priced that part in, because that's why we didn't see much movement off of that, because that was stuff that could be accounted for through all the technology today, through all of the reports that come out. By the time they actually put the real numbers out, it's been, I always figure I'm about the 1 millionth person to hear what's actually going on in these reports, and that's, you're seeing it, because price is king. If price tells you, price is telling you that it didn't really matter, and that's what we're seeing here. We saw basically virtually no reaction when the numbers came out. We're seeing less of it right now.
All right. So if you're a producer, you still your strategy has been, if you can hold on, hold on.
I'm a firm believer in holding. I believe that there's going to be a bigger demand. I believe that eventually, you know, hopefully sooner than later, but that the central banks in Europe and the Federal Reserve here will finally get their act together, let markets really trade themselves, and let asset classes really price themselves. And then when you get that going, I think we'll get to a real market. Right now, what you have is a market that we have to follow too many outside sources versus just what we have. Mm-hmm. We know that demand has to grow. I mean, people are going to eat. Unless we're going to stop eating, then we don't have to worry about it. But we know that there's more people, there's going to be more eating, and it's going to continue to pull. So eventually, when we get rid of all these guys that are trying to financially engineer the markets, that will take care of our grain and markets and allow us to, I think, start to move in a real direction.
Very good. We're a little long here, but I want to ask you one more question. On the other side, if you're a user of grain, whatever it might be, livestock or soybean meal, what would be a different strategy than a producer may be wanting or not to sell?
Well, I mean, I think you right now, you want to look to probably hedge to the upside now. Mm-hmm. You know, you can hedge down and you can hedge up. I think if you're going to be using a lot of grain, I think you should start protecting this price right here. And you can create a synthetic model that will allow you to say, hey, I'm in corn at 358, or, you know, these corn at 380. I'm in. I'm locked. My prices are locked in. I know no matter how much I use, that's what I'm going to pay for it. Yeah. And if you know you can make money at those numbers, then those where you should be locking in. That's one of the secrets to Southwest Airlines versus all the other airlines back in the day. Now the other airlines have figured out that they just hedge to crude oil and they know what their cost is going to be. Then you can do the rest of your business once you know what your initial cost is without having to be worried about markets going crazy. If you lock it in now, you know exactly what your cost is to produce, and then you can base the rest of your marketing plan off of that.
Very good. Todd Horwich.
And okay, so now you see it, and of course we see the markets drastically change, and I'll update you after we listen to the next segment. But the next part was me back on the grain market. I mean, on the meat markets, the livestock. So let's go there now, and it's me with Mark Oppelt once again.
The livestock complex, Todd Horwich, Bubba Trading, BubbaTrading.com. If you want to go to that website, a lot of great information there. We go there ourselves and look. Make sure Todd's working 5 days, 7 days a week. Livestock trade. Normally we start with cattle, but there's a big move going on in hogs today. Back over 71. Want to get your thoughts there first.
First of all, I work, me and the producers and the farmers, we work all the same hours. I'm up at 3 in the morning, too.
I understand. But, yeah, it's a 7-day-a-week job for our producers.
100%. Anyways, I think that this is a real inflection point now, Mark. I think that what we saw, we've been watching this for weeks. This is our second attempt over 71. So if we can stay above it today, and tomorrow we hold it, I think that we get the breakout to the upside. Again, I've been bullish all along, but I refuse to commit. So right here, 70, we can hold above it today. And tomorrow, stay above it. I think then we look for a much bigger move to the upside, and I think we'll be off to the races in the hog space. I think it really looks really good here. And again, this is a key. We've been watching it for about, five or six weeks now. We haven't been able to get out either side. So now we're out. Let's see if we can stay out and really make a run out of it.
Very good. All right. We're up sharply in the hog trade. So reversing back to the beef complex there and what we're seeing today and longer term. Obviously, you always look longer term at what's going on in our beef industry.
I think that, you know, we're up at these upper levels again. I'm still thinking that we have some room to work on the upside, on the downside, excuse me. I'm bullish overall. I think that it's a great, I'm a buyer, but I'm a buyer lower. And I think you're going to see the shorts come in and try to push these down one more time. And I think if we can see live go down to basis April 131, 132, I think that's a place you want to step in. I think if you can see the feeders push down to the 151, 152, 154 level, there's where you want to step in. Again, I'm looking for spots to buy here. I don't think that we're going to have any major down move. My only concern is in live cattle, we've got that big backwardation going out through June, July, and August. So I'm a little concerned there, but I do believe that it's going to be a good season and a good year, and I think we're going to have people that are going to actually loosen their purse strings as well, actually spending more money on more luxury items, which right now, unfortunately, because of the economy, beef is a luxury item.
Very good. Todd, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you tonight. Wrapping things up on our evening news.
And okay, so now the result is that live cattle is right at our resistance. Feeder cattle are right at our resistance. You know, some people say, well, they're a little bit over. They're right there. Again, a couple of percentage points one way or the other is not what we're looking at. And of course, hogs are holding up and the grains remain in weakness. Now, this formula and this theory applies to everything. Okay, this is not just whether, you know, grains or hogs or stocks. We believe in what we call universal price. All charts are the same. They all react off of the same type of information. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you put yourself in that position to say, oh yeah, that is correct, then the sooner you're going to be in a position to be much better off in your overall trading and investing, because that is where you have to focus so that you can be better. Okay. Again, the objective of being in the markets is not to have to worry about what's going on, but to be comfortable about the position that you own without having to worry. And that is always my concern for everybody, is that we get a little bit too caught up in what's happening versus taking care of business. And that, I believe, becomes the bigger problem overall. And that's why I want you to be protected. You know, go to BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. If you want to hear the webinar I did on hedging, you can hear it. You know, it's a little instructional. But make sure that you do check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll get something out of it. You know, if you ever miss a show, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download. And as you know, or maybe you don't know, every Saturday I do the Sporting Edge with Xander. Okay. And we talk sports and fantasy and we relate it to the investing world. So make sure you check that out right here at the LibertyTalk.fm. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. Everybody have a great weekend. We look forward to seeing you back here on Monday. Enjoy the basketball. Enjoy whatever it is you're going to do. But we thank you. We appreciate you. And we will see you back here on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. The Bubba Show. Talk to you.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.